B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, back to your phones as promised. Ian in Illinois wants to weigh in on that Patriots win total topic. Go ahead, Ian.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I had 2 points for you on the win total and the quarterbacks. Number one is, when Chris Sims said Tom Brady didn't win any games last year, that might be true, but think about how many games Tom Brady didn't lose for them last year because, you know, they were involved in some tight games last season. And number two, if you're going to take the over on the win total, don't you have to hope that Jared Stidham is the quarterback with his upside? And if you're going to take the under, you've got to hope that Brian Hoyer wins the job. So wouldn't you wait a little later in the summer before you made that bet?
So I suppose my feeling is that Stidham and Hoyer get the same number. And I, to me, whether Stidham or Hoyer is their quarterback, I would not change my bet. I'm still going over with both of those guys. I'm going over.
I just say, sorry, go ahead.
No, you go.
I was going to say, I think he kind of contradicted himself there a little bit. So on the one hand, he says, how many games did Brady not lose? But then you'd rather have Stidham. Stidham's going to be more mistake prone. He's less experienced. So I think part of the reason Belichick likes someone like Hoyer is that I think Bill thinks that Hoyer in his system is going to make fewer mistakes than someone like Stidham is.
So, but the whole thing about, you know, Brady didn't lose you games is my exact point. My exact point. You know, Brady last year, how many games did he really impact?
The Buffalo games. The two Buffalo wins.
Okay, so you're saying they couldn't have won with just a Joe average quarterback in those games?
Nope.
Okay, so last year, I know this is inexact, but last year they won 12 games, so this year they win 10 games. And not only that, so but if you're saying Brady's value last year is that he didn't lose you games, you know, we're not saying that he categorically won you these games, but he took care of the ball, and so he didn't lose them for you. You can't coach Brian Hoyer up to not lose you the game, to hang on to the effing ball?
Stidham you can, because there's an unknown and an upside with Stidham. Hoyer just sucks.
I think it's just the opposite, though.
Me too. See, I think the opposite there, too. Hoyer's a veteran. He's worked with Bill. I think the chances that their offense is more mistake-free are better with Stidham.
Then why didn't they keep him?
I mean, I'm sorry, with Hoyer than with Stidham.
Then why didn't they keep him last year?
Keep Brian Hoyer?
Yeah.
Because they had Brady.
His salary was too much. And they had Brady.
Yeah, they could have figured it out. If he was that good, if he's what you guys are saying about him, he could have stayed in the room.
Well, I'm not saying he's good, Murray. I'm just telling you, relative
seems
to
like
Stidham,
you're going over there.
He's less likely to make mistakes than Stidham.
You're now a Hoyer guy.
But I do think he's less likely to make mistakes. I mean, Stidham, you want him to be the guy, higher ceiling, the whole thing. But in terms of, it's third and eight, and they say in Brian, and they say in the helmet of the quarterback, I'm third and eight, and you're near midfield, and you got a three-point lead. If it's not there, just chuck it away and give it to the punter, and we're going to play defense. If they say that to Brian Hoyer,
fumble.
He's more likely to do that than Jared Stidham, don't you think?
He's a boob.
I'd see, but I think he'll take the coaching and be the smart veteran player, and if the play's not there, throw it away and not get sacked and not put the ball on the ground. But Jared Stidham, you don't quite know. Young kid, game is sped up on him. I mean, look, the better situation is if Stidham's in there. But if you were talking about mistake-prone and, you know, that whole thing – Brady's value last year is because he didn't lose you any games. Well, that's the criteria now. Then I feel even better about Brian Hoyer, because I don't think he'll lose you games. I don't know how many he'll win you, but I think you can coach him up to not lose you games.
This is what it's become now. Well, that's all we're hoping for, is for Brian Hoyer to not completely blow it and lose games for you. Just manage it enough. Oh, God, what a hell. What a
I mean, this is why I don't want Hoyer to play quarterback, because that's what it would be. Yeah. And look, the style of play is going to be, offensively, I think, pretty elementary, unless Stidham makes a jump that is unforeseen. If Stidham makes some sort of jump that we're not anticipating, then it could be different. But to me, I think it's going to be an ABC offense.
Riley in Rhode Island on MLB. Hi, Riley.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
I want to ask you guys what you think, at what point are they going to be pulling, you know, Stidham, Hoyer, whoever. You know, they play the Chiefs and Seahawks to start the season out of the first four games. If they start that first quarter of their season 1-3, are they going to rock with whoever they started with, or when did they make that switch?
Okay, so this is another reason why I think they start Hoyer, and maybe should, is that it's much more palatable to bring Stidham on off the bench to save the season from Brian Hoyer than the other way around. I think the other way around, you risk setting Stidham back, or, you know, climbing in his head or ruining his confidence or whatever. because he will be the guy to follow Brady. He'll be starting week one, and if he falls on his face to start, that's going to be a tough. Like I've talked about this a lot. I think they have to manage that. I think that has to be part of their calculus, and it will be part of their calculus, and it's why I think Hoyer. One of the reasons Hoyer's going to start the season as your starting quarterback.
Yeah, but if it really depends on how they look at camp, if there's a camp and Stidham looks better, like why wouldn't they go with him from the rip? That doesn't make any sense to start Hoyer because you trust him a little more because he's a veteran. He's a veteran who sucks. The one thing I would like about it, though, is that they start 1-4 and they start suckbag Hoyer, and then they go to Stidham, who they've ruined the confidence in because they didn't believe him in the get-go, losing more games, and we're on our way to winning never for Trevor. We'll take your calls on Trevor Lawrence.
Just to piss me off. We've got Dan in the car. Hi, Dan.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, Murray, first of all, I just want to give you a shout-out. Loved your show over the weekend where you were basically wishing and praying for an asteroid to hit planet Earth. And
every day.
I actually just heard on the news, Radio WBZ, that NASA did just announce that they found a potential asteroid roughly the size of two football fields. That could impact Earth. Unfortunately, it's over 40 million miles away.
Let me tell you something, Dan, and I'm just going to put you on hold because I want your baseball take. There's always an asteroid that's floating around out there that no one's ever seen, that no one's ever knew was there, and all of a sudden, this giant asteroid that could end life as we know it is coming near the Earth, and the scientists go, oh, we didn't notice that one before. Happens all the time, to the point where, and I've gone on this rant many times, you folks send me this all the time. Whoa, here comes this asteroid. Here comes that. It's to the point where it's no longer a story. Don't you get it now? This is why it is one of the most undertold stories in the history of humanity, is that the biggest mass extinction we ever had was an asteroid hitting the Earth. Not enough people have told you that or driven that home. The dinosaurs died not because it just got too hot or they ran out of food. No, a giant meteor hit the Earth.
When was that?
Oh, like billions of years ago, whatever.
So what are the odds?
Is it billions or millions? Whatever. A long, long, long time ago. Well, I'm just telling you that. So all these things that you've heard in popular culture that we can divert it or find it.
Oh, it's such a crock.
Or shoot it out of the sky. It's such a crock.
I think we can obliterate it with a laser.
No shot. Every other month, you're not sending Ben Affleck up there to blow that thing out of the sky. Every other month, there is a giant rock hurtling through space towards us to end life as we know it. And the scientists look up and go, oh. We didn't notice that one before, and they give it a number, A496. There's the new asteroid, and it misses us by 10,000 miles or whatever, which doesn't seem like a lot, but it's really just by a hair. And it's constant. Those things are constantly out there, and it's constantly there. And you
Mike.
Want and Matt and Murray, you want one of them to hit the Earth now?
I do. Yes, yeah, for sweet relief, yeah, for all of us, because it's what we collectively deserve.
Is so, it
yes.
that no? But so for you personally, is it that bad?
Yeah, mentally, yeah.
Because you can't go out to dinner?
No, just all of it. You know, it's not even the dinner thing anymore. Like, I don't know how you can wake up every day and be like, oh yeah, what a great time this is. That's just, that's not me. I'm sorry.
It's been
sorry,
a pretty bad sorry. Week, Mike.
Okay. It's probably the worst week of our lifetime. Like, you know, you talk to some of the olds about, they say, you know, the late 60s was bad. War, rioting, violence, tremendous racial strife, horrible time for the country. So this is our version of it, right? You're healthy. You have your job, right?
Yeah.
I feel like you're way ahead of the game.
Okay, but again, we're talking about the collective here, not the individual, right? We're talking about society problems. We're not talking about individual problems. And so, I know we can sort of internalize some of this stuff and say, well, you know, we're doing okay. Everything's fine. We're fighting through it.
Correct.
But the world, in many places, is literally burning.
Yes, it is.
And that is, you know, that is worrisome, I think, to a lot of us.
Do you want an asteroid to hit the Earth, Maz, and just end it all?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No. In fact, as you talk about asteroid strikes, one of my questions for you is, have you almost ever been hit by a car?
It's been a while, but yeah, I'm sure.
Mm. Did it happen?
No, but I don't understand your point.
I would equate that almost getting hit by a car as the same thing as an asteroid almost hitting the Earth. It rarely happens.
Okay,
it's possible.
But sometimes
lots of near misses, but it doesn't often happen.
Anyway, our poor caller, who we just put on hold for like 10 minutes as we went off on that, Dan is there in the car. Go ahead, Dan. What's your real point?
Well, you just crushed my good news for Murray, but that's all right. Anyways, no, my, you know, when it comes to baseball, I mean, you had a previous caller that listed, you know, 5 or 10 players that, you know, all you guys named. What was the oldest, you know, playing year of one of the players he mentioned. Was that before social media?
So you're saying, well, I mean, tell me your point.
There's no excuse. My point is that there should be no excuse for baseball to be able to market when it comes to today's social media avenues that every team has, but every individual has. So the fact that, you know, we're talking about players that we have no clue. You mentioned the guy who hit 49 bombs and nobody knows him. I mean, that's whose fault is that?
Baseball, but it's not a marketing problem. And I've already forgotten the guy's name. Who's the dude that hit 49?
Eugenio? Pete Alonso.
No. Eugenio Suarez.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the guy with the Mets.
I said Lucas Giolito. I forgot too.
Boston, have you ever heard of Eugenio Suarez? He's a third baseman in Cincinnati who hit 49 bombs last year. And you've never heard of him.
Vinny, put up the photo again, too. Doesn't he have like a George Michael earring on?
That was the thing
that was most interesting about him.
So we put up the pictures of the major league leader in batting average, a guy that hit 49 bombs, and the guy that led Major League Baseball in hits last year. Tim Anderson, Eugenio Suarez, and Whit Merrifield, and no one could identify him. But the point, caller, is that they could put posters up and down the Mass Pike and I-93 or the expressway in Boston of Eugenio Suarez. So that name and that face is pounded into you. They could market the crap out of him. Are you going to sit down and watch a Cincinnati Reds baseball game?
No.
That's the issue.
Yeah, that's the point the caller misses.
It's not the marketing.
No, it's the popularity of the game. The game is not as popular anymore. It's really that simple. And it's hard for the game to be popular when it's played the way it's played. Now, look, maybe it's run its course. Maybe baseball is going to die and that's the end of it. I mean, we move on to something else. I would not rule that out. But what I do know is this. The only chance it has to make it is to change, and it's not changing.
So if you're watching on the simulcast, at NBC Sports Boston, can you put up the fourth player there, the fourth name that I gave you before? I'm going to just, again, if you're watching on TV, I'm going to put up a picture here. Who is that? Have you ever seen that person before in your life? Okay. His name is Whit Merrifield. He is a second baseman / outfielder. I guess he moves around. I don't know. I'd never really heard of him.
He does.
He plays for Kansas City. He led Major League Baseball last year in hits. The hit leader in Major League Baseball. You've never heard of him. You've never seen that before. They could plaster his face over every billboard in Boston, over your phone, or your computer could listen to you and put up pop-up pictures of Whit Merrifield all day long so he was in your face all day long. They could market the crap out of that guy. Are you going to sit down and watch a Kansas City Royals baseball game?
No.
So what does that have to do with the marketing?
Maz Mike, though. He looks like baseball Garoppolo.
I mean, Stu, if Merrifield's on his fantasy team, we'll sit and watch the at-bat so he can pick up some points. But that's the extent of it. The issue is the game and the watchability of the game, not the marketing of the players.
I have baseball red zone.
We have some. What do they call that?
Strike zone.
They don't. Is it? No. Well, the
it's baseball strike zone.
Really?
Yeah.
But so that's separate than the MLB Network.
Correct. But they also do a version of it on MLB Network.
But is it a different channel, like 899?
It's like Red Zone. It's like 9:35 on my Verizon or something like that.
Is it really? I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
Do they have that?
Neither.
I didn't even know they had that. So there's another issue. But I might watch that because there's a – well, whatever. Anyway, there's that topic. Some NBA updates for you right after this.
Dugger Mass. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Several NBA owners, led by the Thunder's Clay Bennett, have reportedly asked the league to consider ways to include all 30 teams in a restarted season. However, the league does appear to be moving forward with a 22-team plan. Let's get a closer look at that. with our Adrian Wojnarowski and Jalen Rose with us this morning here, and we'll talk about a bunch of stuff. And Woj, let's start with that. You've been saying all along that all 30 teams are not going to come back, but what are some of the concerns of particularly the small market owners who it does not appear will get the chance to come back?
You know, Greeny, I think the short-term concerns are for many, as the league returns to Orlando, there are teams who want to feel a part of the National Basketball Association. They don't want to be left out in the short term. They want to go play. The longer term, the idea of your season ending in March and not starting again, playing another NBA game until likely late December, that big of a gap really worries organizations, especially those rebuilding with young players who they can't have around their facilities. They can't have their hands touching these young players. And financially, you know, in some of these marketplaces, like in Atlanta or in Detroit, where you want to stay in the consciousness of your market, you got to be able to sell tickets. You've got to be able to sell sponsorships. You know, I think there's business and basketball concerns about disappearing for this long.
So that all makes sense, Adrian Wojnarowski. The whole league wants to go down to Orlando. Sorry. You know, not that I'm like this Nana, but I'm totally good with these leagues taking the tests that they need and the resources that they need to get back up and running. That's their business. They got to fight for their business. I'm all for it. I've been a strong supporter of that. But I will draw the line somewhere. And to take more tests or more resources or take more people away, so what? The Atlanta Hawks can come back and play four meaningless basketball games. I'm sorry, I'm out. You got to at least have a sniff at the playoffs or have a chance to go to the next, you know, and I don't even know if Atlanta does. Maybe that's the wrong team, but whatever. Like, no, I'm sorry. If you're at the bottom of the NBA, forget about it. And I would even say the bubble teams in the NBA, it's not like the NHL where a bubble team can actually do something and win something. And so there's value in being an 8 seed in the NHL. In the NBA, there's even not even value in that. It's just a quick ticket to one and done. But at least I understand that you have a chance to play it out and you try and make the postseason if you had a chance to make the postseason. So apparently they're going to go to 22 teams. Does 22 work, Mass? Have you figured out how 22 is going to work?
Well, you can make anything work if you give buys. I mean, you can do that because, you know, you just got to do the math, and I haven't done the math. But look, the odd thing about that scenario that the NBA is discussing is you say they're going to 22 teams. So that's 11 from each conference, right? Wrong.
No.
Most of them are coming from the West because, so again, they're hand picking.
Right.
That's what it tells you is that you say of the six extra teams, five of them are in the Western Conference because they want the platforms for those young players on that team. And We're talking about the Zion Williamsons of the world. And I'll tell you what, for the future of the league, it's the right thing to do because that's how that league works, right? They want to pump up the individual players and the individual stars. So they want to get in, you know, whether it's Morant or Zion Williamson, they want to get those guys into the playoffs. But it's completely illogical when you look at it and you say, so wait a minute, five of the six extra teams, five are going to be from the West and one from the East. How the hell is that going
to
work?
So this is the tie-in to our baseball conversation. You say, oh, well, look how good the NBA is at marketing. They accentuate their stars. They promote their stars. They make sure their stars are on the stage. And Maz has it absolutely right. That imbalance of teams, Jalen Rose, as part of this conversation with Woj this morning, talked about it, Jimmy. Go ahead and give me that if you could, please. Jalen Rose.
I'm very good with it, Greeny. And it's basically a version of what we discussed. And as I look deeper into some of these teams that may or may not be 7 or 8 seed or below, let me tell you some of the guys that play on those Western Conference teams. You notice Woj said four from the West and one from the East. So Luka, Ja Morant, Dame Lillard, Zion Williamson, and then in the East, you may get John Wall back to play with Bradley Beal. That's some interesting big-name talent that the NBA can put on display once they get back to playing basketball.
Okay, again, I think he's right. It's shameless. The Wizards are 5.5 games behind Orlando for the last playoff spot. They weren't catching them, and if they did catch them, what's the diff?
Right.
It's a four-game sweep probably to the Bucks in the first round. It makes no difference, but Washington's in. And in the West, Portland, New Orleans, Sacramento, San Antonio, I guess, are the teams. You know, the gap between Memphis at 8 and Portland at 9 is 3.5. You know, and Portland's 29-37 was their record. There's no real justification to give those teams a chance in terms of winning a championship. You know, they're all going to get bounced in the first round by the Lakers. So it makes no difference. In hockey, at least you could say if a team sneaks in, then they could do something and go and do something. In basketball, it's all perfunctory anyway. They're all going to get bounced. So it's just purely, it's not even that these are big markets, New Orleans, Portland, Sacramento. It's all for the individual player. And someone would say, well, look at how smart the NBA is versus Major League Baseball. But here's my point. You'll sit down and watch Jokic. You'll sit down and watch Zion Williamson. You won't sit down and watch Mike Trout in a four-hour baseball game. So MLB could do the exact same thing and put Trout on the stage and make sure he was in front of you and make sure that he was being featured and marketed. But you're not going to sit and watch the ball game. You'll watch the NBA. You'll watch Zion Williamson against LeBron James in the first round, even if Zion has no chance and it's four and done. You'll sit down and watch that because the sport's more compelling.
Totally. Yeah, again, totally. And so what they're doing in the NBA, I mean, you know, the caller, I understand what the caller's saying, but he's just got the wrong, you know, the wrong sequence of chicken and egg. He's going egg chicken. So I look at it and say the reason why the NBA is doing it is because they recognize their star players have appeal. And if they put them on, they'll get ratings. The MLB can put them on even if they are star players and nobody's going to watch anyway. So they just got it backwards. Now, look, again, I think under the circumstances, I'll take anything. Okay. But I do find it, I mean, competitively, for the NBA to pick it the way they're picking it, there's not a lot of logic there. So right? There's just not a lot of logic.
I'm just curious how they're going to pare it down. Like, it'd be one thing if it were 11 in the East and 11 in the West. Then what you do is you take the 8 seed and the 3, you know, wild card teams, if you will, and say you 4 have a one-and-done playoff to reclaim the 8 seed. You know, you just one and done. You each play each other for the semifinal and the final, and then the one you so the 4 comes down to 1, right? And that would be your 8 teams per side. But that's not, again, it's 5 on one side and 1 on the other. So how are they going to do that? What's that going to look like? So is that a tell that it's going to be 1-16, and that's how they're going to seed it?
A little bit, but either way, they'll figure it out, and I'm for it because those crap teams in the East. I mean, look at the Wizards that have no business being there in the first place. Like they're right to choose star power and trying to get the Pelicans in or Portland in or someone like that.
And by the way, I don't begrudge the NBA one bit, and there's no like competitive justification to have the San Antonio Spurs who are 9 games under 500 and 4 games out of the playoffs, or the Wizards, 5.5 games. There's no, but they got to get their money back.
Yeah.
They got to save their business. They have to do whatever they can. So does it benefit them to have John Wall and Bradley Beal in a playoff game or two? Yep, you bet, put them in. Does it benefit them to have Zion? Yep, you bet. Just the same way I came to Jesus on the NHL. 24 teams is kind of stupid, but at least it's the Rangers, the Blackhawks, and Montreal. That's good for business, and they got to try and scrap back some of their business that they've lost in the pandemic. So from an economic standpoint, I totally understand it, and I think they're even kind of justified in it. So there's that. To your phones on everything right after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You can listen to Felger and Maz on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, wrap it up with your phones. So just real quick, that latest Woj report, October 12th, so the drop dead date.
For Game 7 of the Finals, yeah.
Right, Columbus Day. Sort of interesting. You know, I thought they'd be willing to stretch it to, you know, Halloween, end of October. October 12th would be, you know, Columbus Day, just looking at my calendar, which I'm still curious if they're all going to sync it up, Maz, and all going to, you know, coordinate in some way, shape, or form. And the NFL has given itself this flexibility to push back 2 games, 4 games. If they go to, if MLB goes to October 12th, that's the Monday after week 4. Monday after week 5, I guess that would be. Monday after week 5. So it sort of times out to you know, basketball wants to get out of the way before football. Maybe football pushes back, so they wait for the NHL and the NBA. Not that they, you know, necessarily compete with those sports, but, you know, I don't know, sort of stretch out the whole calendar. I wonder if they're all in cahoots, Maz.
Oh, I think they're coordinating it. I do, because I think the networks are probably requiring it. Because, you know, typically you bid on these deals knowing when everything's going to be, what the landscape looks like. And so now the TV networks have to get involved because you don't want everything hitting at once where they say, well, wait a minute, we have too many commitments, we can't carry it all. So I think they are coordinating it. And, you know, I did a little math during the break, too, to try to figure out how your 22-team thing could work. I think I got your answer.
Go ahead.
So you'd have to do, I think, similar to what hockey is doing, I think you'd have to have the top 10 teams in the NBA, you know, basically get a bye and play for seeding, and then the other 12 play for the final six spots. That gives you 16, and then you go from there. I mathematically, I don't know that you could do it any other way, Mike.
And again, is this just a tip-off that they're going to seed them 1 through 16 for getting East-West Conference?
Yeah, I think that that's because, again, I think the giveaway there is that if you're going to add, you know, six teams at the end and the majority of them are coming from the Western Conference, well, that's not equitable. So to me, that tells me they're going to go 1 through 16 and they're not going to do 80, you know, 8 East states, 8 West. They're not going to do it that way.
So that's great for basketball, I think. I think it makes it more interesting. It's bad for the Celtics. Again, that Celtics road becomes, and again, the order might be just a little bit out, but Sixers,
Clippers, I think.
Yeah. Lakers, Bucks. Well,
that's a gauntlet.
That's a tough ask right there for the Celtics. Okay, well, I'll wrap it up with your phones, as promised. Rick and Merrimack. Go ahead, Rick.
Hi, guys. Two quick points. To the point of household names in baseball, right? If you look at 67, I was 8 years old. I had all the Topps baseball cards and everything. Everybody know who Yaz, Roberto Clemente was, Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, Harmon Killebrew, Bob Gibson, Jim Lomberg, Frank Howard,
Rick,
so on.
Rick, let me stop you. Okay. But it's not because baseball marketed those guys. It's because you watched or listened to the games.
Correct.
And that's it. Okay. It's not about this whole thing about, you know, they don't market their stars. It's just poppycock. You have to actually watch and listen or consume the games for that marketing to matter. And that, I think baseball misses the mark, or people criticize baseball on the marketing end are missing the mark. There aren't enough people watching the games. You were consumed with baseball, Rick, because you consumed the games. Now you could market these guys up and trick them up as much as you want. If you're not going to watch the game, what's the diff?
Yeah, because there's better stuff to watch.
Steven?
To me, I keep coming back to that. There's better stuff to watch. Again, you know, the NBA sort of evolved. But remember, in the 70s, for crying out loud, the NBA Finals were on tape delay.
Oh, yeah.
So you know, baseball had a grasp on it then, and over the years, the other sports have evolved, and they have figured it out, and baseball hasn't. People's attention spans have got shorter. You know, to
basketball,
me,
basketball moves. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes, and
absolutely,
you get the hell out of there.
Absolutely, all of it. It's the other stuff's more entertaining, and it's faster.
Steven in Boston, go.
Hey, guys, I just want to make a quick point about baseball, but you talked about getting hit by a car. I got hit by a car as a kid, but pliability worked into it, I guess. But I actually would have rather gotten hit by a car than to ask my wife what was for dinner when she had a frying pan in her hand. This is what we've been going through. I mean, it's just, it's been crazy. But
you'd rather get hit by a car than this? You'd rather get hit by a car. You'd rather get struck by an asteroid than just sit at home for a couple of months? What's the matter with you people?
Yeah, not me. I'll stay home.
Jeez. It's not the best.
Oh, I mean, I somewhat jokingly say it. I think you're taking it a little too seriously.
Okay, thank
Mike.
You.
Yeah, but, I mean, is society as a whole worth saving? Like, bring the asteroid. I'm good. Like, it's not about me and my depression and having, the fact that I've essentially become an alcoholic. It's that I think as a whole, we've had a run as a society, as a human race. Like, that's why. Bring the tidal wave. Bring up Cthulhu. Whatever. Like,
what's Cthulhu?
It's a big beast that rises from the sea, apparently. According to some.
Oh, folklore. Like the Loch Ness Monster.
Well, yeah. You said Kraken the other day.
The Kraken is another thing. One. Yeah, one of those. Yeah, so that's why. Yeah, in jest. I just have a eternally pessimistic, a dark sense of humor. So that's why I said, yes, I'm rooting for the asteroid or the meteor to wipe us all out.
I'm surprised to hear Steve got hit by a car. I never could have actually ever realized. Maybe that explains some things. Jay in Scituate. Go ahead, Jay.
Guys, when I had been tuning in earlier, when you put that picture up of the Kansas City Royal. I don't even know his name now. I had to call. You know, when I was a kid, like, I could tell you John Mayberry to Freddie Patek.
Yep.
I knew they had every team's lineup. But that's what baseball doesn't get that the NBA does. Because the NBA is going to do whatever they're going to do with this whole 22 thing.
You're missing
and
it.
They might see,
you're missing
they might
it, though, Jay.
What?
I mean, so, again, let me ask you. Who's Eugenio Suarez? Do you know who that is?
No way.
Eugenio Suarez hit 49 home runs for Cincinnati last year. That blows me away. 49 bombs. A slugger. Like, chicks dig. If anything's going to bring you to the TV or to the sport, it's the home run. And this guy was second in Major League Baseball. And we're putting his picture up on the simulcast. Eugenio Suarez hit 49 home runs. You've never seen him. You've never heard of him in your life. But even if baseball marketed him, you're not going to sit and watch a Cincinnati Reds baseball game. So what's the point of the marketing? They're putting, as Maz said, the egg before the chicken. You have to actually want to watch the game to have the marketing matter. So the NBA markets
they got
the
an ass backwards. They got a totally ass backwards.
The NBA markets the crap out of their players, but that's not why you watch. You watch because
it's a good sport to watch.
If Zion Williamson faces off against LeBron, it's not because they marketed those players or they have shoe deals. What are you, freaking stupid? It's because it's going to be an entertaining watch. It's going to take 2 hours of your time. You're going to be in, you're going to be out, and you get on with your life. And it's the product is what matters. It's not because they have a shoe deal, but people think, like, people actually say this about baseball players. Well, they don't let them wear their own shoes. Who gives
a crap?
Yeah.
Who cares?
And so, like, baseball says, oh, we know what we'll do. We'll bring in the young fan by letting them wear their own shoes for a weekend in September. You still have to watch the game. No one wants to watch the game. I don't care if they're wearing clown shoes. What's the difference? Right?
Like, I want to put this in terms that people can understand. Okay? You can't market a product that blows. You can't do it. You can market whatever you can. I mean, you can, but people look at it and say, yeah, I've seen that. It sucks. Don't buy it. That's what happens because word of mouth and people's, you know, when it comes to stuff like this in entertainment, people just instinctively know what works and what entertains them. They'll stop and they'll watch it. You can market the crap out of something that sucks. You're still not going to sell it.
I mean, maybe kids today have been deluded into thinking that Michael Jordan's legend started with the shoe. Like, it's, oh yeah, there's this guy with the shoe. Oh yeah, this is the guy, you know, this is the guy whose shoe. It's like, no. The shoe only matters because he was the best player in the history of the game. It started with what happened on the floor. And then the shoe sold because of that. If Jordan sucked, he wouldn't have sold the shoe. Like, don't you get it? But like, are people deluded into thinking that it's the other way around? Like, he had a cool shoe, so he became a superstar? Is that the way it works?
If that were true, we'd have the Air Scalabrini.
Like, no. Peggy in Tewksbury. Go ahead, Peggy.
Hi there. About the length of the baseball games, you know, if you take the ads out between half innings, between changing pitchers, all of that business, you take about 45, 50 minutes off the game. They have, you know, they don't pitch four balls before an automatic walk now. They've got the catchers limited, running out to the mound every three pitches. They've tried. But
small potatoes. They haven't tried. They haven't tried, yeah. Peggy. They have not. And the commercial time, they had commercials back in the 80s and 70s when we were watching. They've added a little bit, so there might be 30 seconds to a minute more between innings for commercials. So if you add that all up, there's 4 or 5 minutes. I'll give you those 4 or 5 minutes for the extra ads. But they've done the studies. It's pitch to pitch.
Yeah, the pitchers threw the ball back in the day, even 15 years ago. Now it's pitcher has the ball. Pitcher stands there. Size, keeps looking. No, don't want to throw it yet. Let me think about it. No, don't like that sign. Shake it off. You want me to throw it? Nope, not ready yet. Still going to sigh. Take my time. Think about it. Then I'm going to throw. Strike one.
And so, but it's not just, it's that. And then the whole analytics in the game has emphasized on base. So taking walks and taking pitches. So now you add all those time between pitches. back in the day, guys would remember those great first pitch, you know, swinging guys.
And
early in the count, attack the hit, you know, that doesn't happen anymore. There's very few of those guys now. Very few.
No, you could have a 1-2-3 inning that takes 16, 17 minutes. because it takes 5 minutes per batter, for crying out loud, because they got to take six pitches. So, the whole thing is mind-numbing. It makes you want to beat your head against the wall.
Doesn't matter how you market that. People aren't going to watch it. Jason and
can't I market crap. Seriously, it's like that line from Tommy Boy. I could take a dump in a box and tell you that it's guaranteed, but it's still a dump in a box.
Jason Hyannis, quickly.
All right, so six love the dong, not the home run. So that's what that is. But this is the thing as well. This is the thing as well. With these sports that we're playing, the game that you played when you showed the baseball players that nobody even knew, it's a funny thing. We could do one from 10, the best number one player to the 10th best player in each league. Baseball, I couldn't even name you the 7th best player in baseball.
No, sir.
Maybe the 6th best player. Football, we can go nuts. We can go 20. Basketball, we can go into 20. Hockey, I'm not a hockey guy, so I have no idea. But baseball, I'm actually a baseball guy. I couldn't even name you the 7th best player in baseball.
Also, again, the identifiability. I picked out the obscure all-stars to make it hard, but I went to the top of the list and gave you headshots of Yelich, Trout, Bellinger, Betts, and I went to like an average sports fan across the country. I don't think they'd go 4 for 4. I'm sorry. I don't think they would. And it's just,
we should know guys that hit almost 50 home runs, though, but I'm still not going to take the blame on that because it stinks. Like, I'm not going to watch a Reds game.
I don't take the blame for that whatsoever.
Yeah, me neither. To me, this is incumbent upon them. It's incumbent upon them to sell me a product that I want to buy. And I think that they've done the opposite. They've sold me or tried to sell me a product I don't want to buy.
Wayne and Grafton, last word, quickly.
Murray, bring on the asteroid. I'm with you. Shots, beers, and watch Jenna Hayes on Pornhub. Peace out. Oh,
yeah, Wayne, there you go.
Maz, you familiar with her work?
Yeah, I've heard of her. Yeah,
of course.
Final word comes your way next.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
So regular listeners of this show know that there's no more talk of the hot weather affecting the ice when the NHL finally returns. They also know that there is no more talk of, mic up the players. Maybe that'll be interesting. Mic up the players. We want to hear what they're going to say. Well, no more talk of that either. And the latest bylaw to Felger and Maz will be this. Technically.
Keith in Vermont. Go ahead, Keith.
You covered it a little bit before I called. I think that they might be tanking to get Trevor Lawrence. Mm. They've got a ton of picks they could package.
Mm. Here we go.
Okay, Keith, I'm sorry. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Put this on the list next to the bad ice call with the hockey callers. And let's mic the players in the other sports because there's no fans in the crowd.
Yeah, what about the ice, Felger? Oh, God, please, would you stop it? They're not going to tank for Trevor Lawrence. They're not going to suck bad enough to get the pick, and their division's not good enough for them to get the pick. That's another factor that we haven't really touched on that people can't overlook. As improved as Buffalo has been now, and maybe even as Miami is, it's not like there's a 12-4 team in the division. I think they're all going 7-9 to 9-7. They're all going to fall in there, with the possible exception of the Jets.
There's just so many reasons why they're not going to tank. I don't want to lose my mind. I'd like to get to put this on a loop, and so Jimmy can just press a button. There's just so many reasons they're not going to do it. One, Belichick wants to catch Don Shula. He's not getting any younger. He's no spring chicken. If he wants to catch Don Shula as the all-time winningest coach, 4-12 doesn't help him. One. Two, the big thing for Bill Belichick, we've been led to believe, is it's a little bit of an ego play. He wants to prove he can win without Tom Brady. and he wants to prove it's not about the quarterback, it's about him. So how in the world does he prove that by going 4-12 and then drafting a quarterback up high in the draft as if just to announce to everybody it is all about the quarterback? That is completely antithetical to everything he's trying to prove. Don't you get it? 3, the division still blows. 4, the coaching across the league still blows. You can't get Trevor Lawrence in the first overall pick when you go 6-10 because that's the low watermark for that team when you have a coach that good and the division is that bad. Should we keep going? Like, how many reasons do you need to know they're not going to tank for Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, but what about that saying, one step forward, two steps
back?
Oh,
my God, it's so ridiculous. 2020
is two steps back. You tank it, you win never for Trevor.
They have the number one defense in the league. I don't know, just go down the list. They're not going to get to 4. And it's 4-12, oh, by the way, doesn't get you there.
No, you got to go like 2-14.
We've done the math. 2 wins, 3 wins, you're out. You got to be 1 or 2 wins at most. And if Trevor Lawrence is that good, you're going to have to be competing with teams down there. So it's not, just stop it. Pick a different topic. Pick a different thing. I'd rather get called about the ice than I would about Trevor Lawrence.
Opening up for that now.
Yeah, we'll have to open up the phone lines for all those topics at once, the dump in a box day.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.